I'm going to give Ivan back the Hot Toddy CD, and I'm going to wander around and see if I can find Leslie Brown, that I mentioned earlier, who is the director of the Social Economy Network. And I'd like to just interrupt you for a second. Leslie, we're on air, and I've mentioned you earlier as the director of our network, and I just wondered if you'd like to say a few words of welcome to the reception on air, the virtual reception.
Okay, yes, I would very much like to welcome everyone who's in the listening audience, who are interested in this social economy radio. Has anyone told them about the social economy yet?
You go right ahead, my dear. You're the best person to do the job.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're really celebrating the community of Fredericton and the community organizations that are such a vital part of the social fabric of Fredericton, but also in ways they may not be aware of, a vital part of the economy as well. And we think of the social economy as including cooperatives and nonprofit organizations and mutuals, all organizations that have some interest in participation and engagement and helping people meet their own needs. And it's those sorts of organizations and people in those organizations that we're celebrating with this radio broadcast.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Leslie. And you didn't overhear any part of our panel, but all those words you said, you'd be happy to hear that everybody was mirroring those in their comments as well from our community partners. So I'm going to now go over to Stuart Wolf, who is visiting as well. And Stuart has had, at least in title, the same position that I've had in the Atlantic region as coordinator with the Social Economy Network. Stuart's been coordinator with what we call the BALTA network, which is the BC Alberta Social Economy Research Alliance. So hi, Stuart, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here from one coast over to the other coast.
You had some trouble getting here.
I did, yes. Air Canada stranded me in Toronto overnight, but I'm here now and very much enjoying what I see. And
great. And who's along from your research network as well that we might hope to get on later in the show?
We've got about 9 or 10 people from BALTA here. We're focusing a lot right now around issues related to sustainability, climate change, the role the social economy can play in that area. So we've got several people here, including our lead investigator, the equivalent of Leslie, Mike Lewis, and other people. We've got people who are doing work around affordable housing, the role of social enterprise, local community economic development, the role of faith-based organizations in the social economy, and a couple of others which I can't remember at the moment. But and we are hoping to get several of them on here between 5 and 6:30 tomorrow.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks, Stuart. Okay. And enjoy the reception and have a look at our book, which we're launching, and the co-op.
Congratulations to you on having the book finally completed and out. I'm sure it's a great sense of accomplishment.
Thank you very much. Okay, and I'm going to turn over to David Doughton, who is here, one of our partners in the research network, and he's just signing in at our door. And I'll turn it over to David for a second to tell us what he's doing here.
You don't want to turn it over to me. It's top secret. What I'm doing,
otherwise known as James Bond.
Yes, I'm here to eat all the samosas. But I arrived on Friday night. I did a presentation to a panel at the Canadian Association for Food Studies on Saturday morning around resilient models of agricultural and food distribution. And then I, somebody's putting on headphones. And then I have been doing food studies research work, and today cooperative, measuring the cooperative difference, Community University Research Alliance, or CURA work. And during which I had an incredible stroke of genius brainwave that will ensure a better society as well as stable employment over the next 5 years.
Oh, do tell.
Well, if I told you on radio, it wouldn't be our secret now, would it?
you and me and the 5 million listeners. Yeah. So I just want to give a little check-in with Ivan here and make sure the quality of the sound is still good. Okay, we're going to keep circulating. Well, thank you, David. And did you mention that you're also with
the Social Economy and Sustainability Research Network?
And the Cooperative Enterprise Council of New Brunswick?
Yes, I am that. And I am also chair of the Co-op Zone Developers Network, Canada's national network of cooperative developers. We're about to launch a training program in the fall for co-op developers. And what else? I'm on the National Council of the Canadian Environmental Network, and I sit on the Management Systems Advisory Committee of the Canadian General Standards Board. And but in all other respects, I am a complete nobody.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, David. I'll talk to you later. So I'm looking around, and we've got probably, 30 people in the room, and everybody's enjoying some of the local food, and we have a cash bar that we're raising funds for the Charlotte Street Arts Center with, and we have some lovely selected local wines and some local beer and some homemade samosas from one of the local samosa people. And I'm just going to take my microphone over to a group that are chatting here. And I see from your name tag, your name is Leo LeBlanc, and you're with Co-op Atlantic.
I am. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm Noreen Miller, and I'm the coordinator with the Social Economy and Research, Social Economy and Sustainability Research Network. And we're one of your co-hosts here tonight. And so what brings you here tonight, Leo?
Well, we were involved in one of the Cura projects. So Co-op Atlantic has participated with six member cooperatives that had participated in the research on the cooperative difference.
Right. Is that the project with Leslie Brown and Elizabeth Hicks?
It is. And we intend to implement the findings of the research with some of our stores.
Okay, great. Well, I should have told you before I stuck the microphone in your face that we're on FM radio in Fredericton, a community radio broadcast that we're having as part of our events this week as well. So now your voice has been broadcast to millions in the Fredericton area.
That's good. Thank you.
Thanks, Leo. Okay, so who else do we have here tonight? I see Tom Webb and Claire Gagnon are here. And we are on 97.9 FM radio, Social Economy Radio in Fredericton, so we're live. And I wonder, Tom, if you could tell me what you're doing here tonight.
Well, I run the Master Management Program for co-op and credit union managers at St. Mary's, which is, I think, pretty well unique in the world because we've taken every single topic that you would deal with in an MBA, and we've come at it from a cooperative perspective. So we teach cooperative accounting, we don't teach HR, we teach people management and people development, and on and on.
Great, so. Okay. And the Cooperative Management Education Co-op is one of the partners that is profiled in our publication that we're launching this evening. And and Tom has been part of our research network for the last 5 years.
That's true.
And I'm going to turn over to Claire Gagnon and tell me what you're doing here, Claire.
Well, I came because it's part of my work and life interests, cooperatives that is, because I work for government as co-op registrar. Mm-hmm. And I also did studies in cooperatives, so I follow every event that I can find on co-ops.
Yeah. Claire was what we consider, a student member of our network in that you were working on a thesis at the time.
Yes. And it's all wrapped up, I'm proud to say.
That's great. Okay.
Claire worked with me at Co-op Atlantic when I worked at Co-op Atlantic. So we go back a long way.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, so do you want to say anything about co-ops in the Atlantic region or New Brunswick in particular?
Well, they've been new development and a lot of interest in energy. So people are creating networks and creating co-ops around that issue and organizing themselves. So that's new. And there's also interest to set up programs to promote more co-op development, and the organizations such as the Co-op Enterprise Council and the Coopérative de Développement Régional Acadie are both involved in pushing that agenda. So I'm quite excited to work with these organizations as part of my responsibilities.
Okay. And can you give me a sense of how many organizations we're talking about in New Brunswick?
Well, there's about 200 that are actually registered, but only maybe 150 that are actually active. So we do a little bit of cleanup once in a while of our list, but I would say like 150 co-ops. And involved in all sorts of activities. It can be funeral services, it can be daycare, it could be a cultural organization, it can be worker co-ops, you know.
And I just spoke with Leo LeBlanc from Co-op Atlantic a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to mention was the survey of co-ops and credit unions that Dr. Luc Thériault at UNB had conducted as part of our network.
Yes.
And you're aware of that? And
yes, and we probably provided him a bit of information.
Yeah.
And he compiled it across the Atlantic. So we keep statistics in our department also.
That's great. Yeah, and we were talking about community counts, and I guess the hope is that the New Brunswick, a similar system will be developed within New Brunswick, and I think there's probably already some work afoot to that end. So help yourself to that brochure if you haven't seen that before. I'm going to move on. Thanks for your time, Claire. And I think I'll check in with Ivan and see if maybe we need a break for a few minutes. And he's chatting with somebody, so I'm just going to go back over. And I'm going to meet up with Charlene. And so, hi. So tell us what you're doing, Charlene.
I'm here helping out with the broadcast part of this. Sorry, I'm eating some delicious cheese. It's like Havarti spice.
Stuck
cheese.
My mic in front of her face.
I know. I'm here helping out with the radio broadcast. I'm mostly doing the interviewing stuff out on the street. We're putting together some clips. We were down wandering around downtown Fredericton earlier, talking to some locals and business people. And
That stuff will be recorded and then played later?
Yeah, we did a pre-recording, and then Eva, Ivan's daughter, is editing it for us, so we'll be able to play that later.
Good. Now tell me about the social media with the Twitter and the Facebook links.
Yeah, so basically we're kind of doing a simulcast online as well with Twitter and Facebook. We have a Facebook page. If you just search Social Economy Radio on Facebook, you can find it and you'll like it. And we're posting photos and just kind of like talking about the people, putting up a lot of the links of the people who we're interviewing and talking to, and then the same with Twitter. So it's just another form of broadcast.
Okay, so basically if someone's not able to be here in person, they can get into it online as well.
Yeah, and it also kind of acts as a documentation of the whole kind of event and process, because, you know, even after the broadcast is done, the Facebook page and the Twitter is still there for people to go back and reference. And
okay, yeah, good point.
It acts as an archive for the event as well.
Right, good point, yeah. And we're going to take some of the sessions that are recorded live, and we'll make those available through our the Social Economy Network's website as well later as podcasts, I guess you would call them.
Yeah, podcasts are always a great way too. We did that in the other one that we did in Wolfville, I think. We had quite
equity
a few podcasts. Yeah, equity and technology broadcast.
And that was with Dr. Diane Looker, who was, was she still part of the sociology department there, or was she a Canada research chair then? I can't remember.
At the time, she was with the sociology department at the Mount. Yep. I don't know. I'm not sure where she is right now. But
well, she holds.
I'm hoping to see her later.
Yeah.
To catch up with her.
Yeah, she's going to drop by, so we'll try and nab her too. And she's currently a Canada research chair. She's holding that at Mount St. Vincent University. So I see her
she
office
still
sometimes.
Is. Yeah.
I'm not. Sorry, I don't really know what. Must be something to do with.
It's. I think it's the same.
Equity and technology.
Yeah.
She does a lot of work there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on. Thanks, Charlene.
Thank
we'll talk
you
to you later. Yeah, I'm going to. Check out Dr. Mike Corbett, who's visiting here from Bear River, Nova Scotia, and ask him, why did you drop into this event, Mike? We're live on the radio with 97.9 Social Economy Radio.
Well, thank you, Noreen. I dropped in for the good food and to see what's going on in the social economy in Atlantic Canada. And it's all very interesting.
That's great.
The
thank you.
Food is good. Come on by, anybody. I'd certainly suggest that anyone come and take a look at what's happening in Atlantic Canada and this kind of work, and get some good food and come have a visit.
And have a chat on air.
Sure.
And so what brings you to Fredericton, Mike, for the Congress?
I'm here for Congress. Congress is a set of different associations, and my association is called the Canadian Society for the Study of Education, CSSE. And I'm here giving a couple of papers and organizing some sessions, some symposiums around the sociology of education.
Just stick this microphone in front of people's faces and they're halfway through their snack, so it's not really fair.
There you go, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, yeah, I'm here for the meetings of my association and to meet with colleagues and to network and to share perspectives and ideas on research. And
you're working on a book on rural literacies?
That's right. Yeah, working here with a colleague from Australia, Bill Green, who I hope would come, but he's back in the hotel resting. Goes a long way from Australia, you know. Anyway, we're working on a book on something we're calling rural literacies. So we're trying to bring together researchers who work in literacy education research and who are trying to expand the frame of what counts as literacy in the context of that research with people who work in the area of rural education. So we're bringing these two kind of subfields in education together in this book, and where we have a prospectus out to Palgrave Macmillan, and hopefully it'll all come true.
Oh, good. Yeah. We just finished a panel on similarities and differences amongst the social economy organizations that have been partners in the social economy network. So we talked about, you know, the differences in language and how it's important to be speaking the same thing, but of course celebrating the differences as well. So that would relate to your topic as well as what these folks are studying in terms of the social economy.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the whole idea, I think what we're trying to do is to get around simplistic notions around what counts as literacy. I think there are a lot of very singular mythologies about literacy as something that can be measured in a rather simple way through certain metrics. Our view is that literacy is a set of social practices. It has to do with the location of people and what they do in their lives. And we're not sure that it's something that can be measured objectively, you know, the way you measure temperature. And we think we have to know a whole lot about difference and diversity and the way that people have different lives and different pressures and different kinds of literate practices in their lives. And I think the same is true of the idea of rurality. That's another kind of singularity that gets thrown out there as this kind of mythological idea of some place that we've left behind or some place on the margins of the metropolis. And we're trying to raise some questions about that old mythology about what counts as rural, and to raise some new questions and to bring in new perspectives on the rural in Canada and internationally.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks, Mike, for sharing a little bit about your research and your interest in the topic and your participation in Congress. Ooh. So hope you enjoy the reception, and maybe we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you very much, Nori.
You're welcome. So I've lost my Ivan again. I was going to ask him to switch to some music, but I'll keep wandering. And I see Elizabeth Hicks coming in. So Elizabeth, we're live on the air with Social Economy Radio at 97.9 FM. Yeah, and I know Elizabeth had a little bit of a struggle to get here, I think. So,
yes, I did. Yeah. Flights were delayed in Pennsylvania, so I'm a day later than I wanted to be.
Okay, we've heard that from a few people coming to the...
It was foggy, I guess, in Halifax, I think, last night. Last night, night before. Yes.
Before. Okay. So, Elizabeth, what was your involvement with the Social Economy Network with Leslie?
And you're speaking of the current...
No, the Co-op Atlantic work, which of course is carried on now in the Co-op Cura project as well. So yeah, just talk a bit about your research.
Okay, well, in the first Cura we were involved in, I was working with Leslie and our partner, community partner Co-op Atlantic, in developing a tool that we could measure about objectives that they would have that are non-financial. So looking at things like community involvement, member engagement, things like that. They're important to cooperatives. So looking at how we can measure that and what, so that they can ascertain whether they have to improve or they're doing well in certain areas. And then I was also involved in another project with Tom Webb and
the program at St. Mary's for cooperatives.
Yeah, the Center for Excellence,
Center of Excellence for Accounting and Reporting for Cooperatives. And there we were looking at accounting principles, generally accepted accounting principles. And they have been developed basically for the for-profit group. So although a lot of those principles do apply equally well for nonprofits and cooperatives, there are a number that don't. And so we were really investigating those and seeing how cooperatives might provide either additional information or slightly different information for their members. Yes. So that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we just spoke with Tom Webb a few minutes ago and with Leo LeBon from Co-op Atlantic.
Right.
So
yeah.
So it's interesting to see all the connections amongst the people in the room.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it seems like a good group here tonight. So
yeah, we've got a crowd forming. So thanks, Elizabeth. I'll let you enjoy the reception. Talk to you later. So, yeah, we're going to take a few minutes for some music, I guess, and we'll go back to the reception and talk to a few more groups of people.